Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Mr. Science Show. My name is Mark West and this week we're talking climate change and Earth Hour. Now, most people around the globe will have heard of climate change, but not everyone will have heard of Earth Hour, although the numbers that have are rising every day. A little later in this episode, we're going to talk to the Mayor of Willoughby Council in Sydney, Councillor Pat Riley, about Willoughby Council's efforts to combat climate change and to participate in Earth Hour. And we're also going to have a chat to Dr. Ben McNeil, who is a Senior Fellow at the Climate Change Research Centre at the University of New South Wales, about the challenges Australia and the world face with regards to climate change and what we might be able to do about it. But first off, what is this Earth Hour thing and how can you get involved? Well, Earth Hour is a WWF, Worldwide Fund for Nature, initiative where individuals, businesses and governments turn off their lights for 1 hour to show their support for action on climate change. Earth Hour is a symbolic event designed to engage people from all walks of life in the climate change discussion to send a strong message to political leaders that we want them to take meaningful action on climate change. It proclaims to be the largest climate change event in history. And this year, the event is focusing its attentions on the United Nations Climate Change Conference in Copenhagen, coming up later this year. This conference, to be held in December 2009, will create a post-Kyoto Protocol international agreement to tackle climate change. Earth Hour aims to encourage world leaders participating in this conference to take a stand and agree to deep cuts in greenhouse gas emissions. Now, if you're wondering when Earth Hour is, it's this Saturday. It takes place Saturday, the 28th of March at 8:30 p.m. local time. Just like New Year's Eve, Earth Hour will travel from one time zone to the next, starting at 8:30 p.m. in New Zealand. Already cities in more than 60 countries, and the number of towns participating has almost reached 3,000 at the time of recording, have committed to Earth Hour 2009. If you want to get involved in Earth Hour or see whether your town or local area are already participating, get over to www.earthhour.org. The site is updated constantly, so if there's anything posted there for your city, you'll find out about it. And there you can plan your own event or check back frequently for updates. So if you want to get involved, get over to the website, earthhour.org. And remember, if you're a business and you don't turn your lights off, you'll stand out pretty strongly against the rest of the city. So I'd encourage you to get involved. I chatted to the Mayor of Willoughby Council in Sydney, Councillor Pat Riley, about what his council is doing to participate in Earth Hour and some of the other ways that Willoughby Council are aiming to combat climate change.
Well, we've got a major event on, as I hope other areas are doing the same thing. Saturday night, we're getting community together for a, I guess, a festival type of approach, and then really highlighting the simple fact of the matter is that we go off the air when it comes down to power for an hour.
Okay, and what are some of the things that are going on at the festival?
It's a great community day, a great community festival, really. They've got stalls in encouraging people to be involved with the spirit of what Earth Day is all about. And then the whole thing will culminate at 8:30 where all lights go out. We're having it at Narromburn Park, a very significant part of the centre of Willoughby.
Yep.
Because you can see that virtually from Narromburn Park, you have a very good look across the whole of Sydney. And the interesting thing that will come out of it is just how many other people follow suit with what we're doing.
Yeah, no, if you don't have your lights off, you'll be fairly noticeable, I imagine.
Exactly, exactly. But the point is, it's our contribution to a very, very real reason as to why we should be looking at, if you want to be fair dinkum about climate change and the matters that we have to take on board in that regard. It's a very, really good example. And we, to the best of our ability, we're moving in that sort of direction.
And you're launching a new Climate Clever campaign at the festival.
That's right. Yeah.
What's all that about?
What we're trying to do is encourage people to be able to really have a good look. And a lot of it actually is not not one of those sort of things where you it's nothing new. It's far from anything new, really. It's a factor of when you go back to the 19 when I was a kid. Okay, right. I've been around this area for I was born and bred in Willoughby, and just basic fundamental stuff about turning lights off, keeping switches off. You don't use anything other than when you really need to use it. And what we're doing on that particular day, we've got a great package to go out to people. And I'll tell you what, one of the things I think is marvellous is that young people will really be the leaders in this regard. Where you're constantly reminded of why keep it on. You know, the old story about you put a kettle on and then you'd have a cup of tea and the power's still left on.
Yep.
And with these sort of things, they're the sort of things that will remind mum and dad, let alone mum and dad, coming on, you know, in tune. They'll remind them of the fact of every little bit of power that's used has a major problem in regard to not being terribly climately clever.
And I read that Willoughby Council wants to reduce its own greenhouse gas emissions by 50%. That's even better than the federal government's target. That's pretty good.
You may as well set the high hurdle, mate.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's where we're trying to head towards. But again, in the cleverness factor, I don't think anyone could ever believe that it's rocket science. We do overuse power. Unfortunately, I think a little bit of over-the-top affluence has taken place, and people have forgotten these basic fundamentals. And as I say, they use the term cleverness, but the cleverness is really not rocket science, it's just responsibility.
And you've been elected mayor, well, and for a number of times now. Is this the first time that Willoughby Council is doing something like this? I know.
We've been working on it for a long time.
Okay.
We've been working on it for a while, but I can only talk from experience. As you say, I've been a mayor for now 13 years, and I've been in local government for 23 years, and I've lived in Willoughby for all my life.
Yeah.
And I'm talking from the experience, and that's why I'm just going back through recognition of what families used to say years ago.
You're quite the Elvis singer.
Yeah, I would have spoken to you earlier, and I've done about three of those today for Harmony Day.
Oh, really? Are going to be any for Earth Hour?
You never know what might come out. I've got to do a couple of Elvises on that day for other reasons. But I think my main instrumental history has been as a drummer.
Okay.
And they've got a major drum thing they're going to do, and we're trying to sort out whether I can get one of my drum kits up there to be in the middle of a lot of them and you know, do a bit of Afro drumming type stuff.
Oh, that's the tribal drumming thing that's happening.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, that'd be great. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, for having a chat.
My pleasure indeed, mate, and I think it's what we're talking about with this whole program is sometimes forgotten fundamentals.
This week I also spoke to Ben McNeil, a senior fellow in the Climate Change and Research Centre at the University of New South Wales, Sydney, Australia. Ben is an Australian academic who is an expert in a range of areas relating to climate change, science, policy and energy. In 2001, he worked as a research fellow at Princeton University and returned to Australia in 2004 to work in the Climate Change Research Centre. In 2007, he was chosen as an expert reviewer for the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and he also presented his research to the Prime Minister of Australia and Cabinet in Parliament House in Canberra. He was recently elected to represent young scientists in the Federation of Australian Science and Technology Societies. I chatted to Ben for quite a long period of time about climate change, about the science and about the policy that goes into this issue. If you tune into next week's edition of the Mr. Science Show, you'll hear the full interview I did with Ben. But for this week, here's just a shortened version of the interview with relevance to Earth Hour.
My name is Ben McNeil, and I'm in the Climate Change Research Centre. It's a centre out of the University of New South Wales. We focus mainly on the physical science of climate change and how projections of the future climate will affect anything from temperatures to rainfall to agriculture to sea level, that sort of thing. The latest science, essentially, the latest scientific synthesis of what's happening with climate change was published by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change in 2007. But the last published peer-reviewed science that went into that was actually 2005. So there's actually been a number of years of scientific evidence relating to climate change that has become available. And so we are in the process now, in particular our group, and I'm actually the manager of this project, to coordinate a synthesis, getting a mini snapshot of the science since the IPCC. And so we had a workshop recently on the latest science in Copenhagen a couple of weeks ago. And in some areas, for example, in temperature projections, there hasn't been much change from the IPCC projections in the sense that the range of temperature warming scenarios that the world will face, somewhere between 2 degrees and 6 degree warming by 2100, and that's dependent on not uncertainty in the science, that's dependent on the emissions. So it's really dependent on where we go with our emissions.
Okay.
But in terms of other areas relating to climate, for example, the Arctic sea ice and Greenland ice sheets, which are really, they're like a thermostat because they reflect a lot of the energy that hits the Earth because they're like a mirror.
Uh-huh.
And so what we've found is that over the last, particularly over the last 20 years, there's been this acceleration of melting in sea ice in particular, and also disturbingly on the land ice, which is important for sea level. And so there has been recent evidence over the last couple of years that this has been accelerating. And actually, it's even beyond the worst-case scenarios of the model projections of what the number of different climate models from around the world are projecting.
Is it 12?
So this is a disturbing new observation that the changes we're experiencing in the climate, particularly in the Northern Hemisphere, are accelerating and beyond our worst scenarios. The other thing that's particularly problematic and disturbing since the IPCC is that the emissions itself, so the carbon dioxide and greenhouse gas emissions that we've emitted into the atmosphere, are also beyond the worst case scenario. And this is in particular due to, since 2003, this massive economic boom which has been driven by fossil fuels in China and India. And so since the dirty economic growth that China and India experienced in recent times, the emissions have gone beyond the worst-case scenario globally. And so that's another really disturbing element to this issue, is that it seems that despite our best efforts over in global policy, the emissions are definitely not declining, they're actually increasing, which puts us on the path of very significant risks in terms of future changes to climate, and also how that these changes, whether it be sea level or agricultural food supply and water supply, will affect human populations, not just the environment. I think that's one of the things I think is really important in this, is that this isn't just an environmental crisis. This is potentially a huge human crisis, because the developed world, they basically have, their economies are linked heavily to agriculture and mm-hmm. subsistence, which means that changing climate and changing patterns of weather, that is rainfall belts and temperature, mean actually changing human prosperity and civilization as we know it, because that's where civilization has been built over the last 100 or 200 odd years. In particular, the growth has been built around a stable climate, whether it be around coastlines or around rivers or around water supply. So the real emerging threat, from my perspective, which is really concern in the future, is the emergence of this the interaction between the climate and human populations. That is, and in particular, in the developing world, where there isn't the capacity to adapt to changes, whereas in the developed world, although it'll cost a lot for us, in general there'll be a greater adaptation towards these changes. And so unfortunately the most vulnerable in our society that are going to be the worst off is definitely quite present within this huge challenge in the next century.
There's a lot of resistance out there to combating climate change, really, but we kind of combated CFCs quite quickly. Where does the resistance come from with climate change?
I just think it's about change. You know, so there's elements in our society and in each nation that resists change, even though change is for the better, could be for the better, and in this case it definitely is for the better. So I think it's really a case of how you view change in society, and there are some elements, and in particular, certain sectors, which have seen their economic prosperity lie in the old way we've done things, and so a change in that, to them, they see it as a threat, but actually, in reality, there's nothing stays the same in our society. I mean, I think whether it's you know, human rights or discrimination or the economy in general, nothing stays the same. And I guess we have to try, and I have to, and we all have to try and embrace the change in terms of there's some big issues coming, and if we don't embrace it, I think there's more risks to the status quo than it is the other scenario. So I guess it's a matter of how much we can try and impose change on a society that in general is conservative.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's edition of the Mr. Science Show. Thanks very much to Dr. Ben McNeil from the Climate Change Research Centre at the University of New South Wales, and also to the Honourable Mayor of Willoughby, Councillor Pat Riley. Make sure you get out to your local Earth Hour events this Saturday. And for any more information, get over to my website at MrScienceShow.com or register for Earth Hour on earthhour.org. Tune into next week's episode of the Mr. Science Show for the full fascinating interview with Dr. McNeil. He has some absolutely fascinating opinions on climate change science, policy and energy, and he's also releasing a book in May this year called The Clean Industrial Revolution: Growing Australian Prosperity in a Greenhouse Age. The book deals with the fact that Australia faces a challenge that no other developed nation on Earth does, and that is, it is more economically vulnerable to the emerging energy and climate change threat than any other developed nation. At present, Australia is the most carbon-obese country in the developed world, and our economy is dependent upon high carbon exports as well as high rates of energy consumption. At the same time, we live on the most fragile continent with the poorest soil and the most uncertain rainfall, making us enormously sensitive to climate change. As the world starts to rapidly reduce greenhouse emissions, Australia will be caught in a trap partly of its own making. If we don't act rapidly to reduce our emissions and adjust to climate change, our exports will not be acceptable in international markets. And at the same time, our agriculture will decline and our cost of living will increase. The book promises to be a fascinating read, and it's called The Clean Industrial Revolution. So make sure you look out for that in May this year, and tune into next week's edition of the Mr. Science Show for a full interview with Dr. McNeil. My name is Mark West, and my website, www.mrscienceshow.com. On that website, you can leave any comments that you like about climate change, Earth Hour, or anything else that takes your fancy. You can send me an email, you can engage with me on Twitter, or you can just have a browse. That website again, mrscienceshow.com. Thanks very much for joining me. See you next week.